FM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
Hello then, this is your XFM Breakfast Show podcast. I am its proprietor, if you will. My name's above the door. And that way, that means if anyone gets drunk during it, it's up to me to sort of throw them out. Otherwise, I lose my licence. People like you, Charles, you know, students coming in here.
I'm 25. Well, I've been a student for quite a few years.
But, you know, technically you're a student of radio, aren't you?
Yes.
And you've learned a lot, haven't you?
Yeah.
This week especially, you learned how to cup your own testes.
Not well enough.
No, to prevent me from hammering a tennis ball into them at speed while blindfolded on the roof of our building. The reason for that, we were playing tee off in the dark for tea in the park. That's the one of the worst competition ideas ever.
And one of the most painful as well.
Turned out, yeah, but only for you, so, you know, no one cared. what was in the podcast, Charles?
We have Seth MacFarlane, creator of Ted, talking about his new film.
Million Ways to Die in the West. Yep. Yeah, Seth MacFarlane, yeah, we spoke to him. Yeah, he's quite tired, he's a bit jet-lagged, wasn't he? Yeah. And Dave, this is a bonus for podcast listeners, by the way, because the interview was pre-recorded, and he and I had a conversation about some sperm on Sarah Silverman's head, which is a scene in the film, not just in like life. And Dave cut it out of the broadcast version.
I'm a responsible producer, John.
Are you?
Yes, kind of. Every now and then.
But we're allowed to put it in the podcast. It's fine. So, you know,
we just put explicit next to it.
It's not that explicit.
Oh, it's explicit.
How explicit? No, it's not. I just say the word sperm.
Semen, actually, but that's fine still.
That's better.
It's better, actually.
You know,
yeah.
What was your issue with it, actually?
It's a bit graphic for 8:10 in the morning for mums taking the kids to school. Was my thought process.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point, I suppose, isn't it?
Talking of seminal fluid, we talked about 50 Cent and his throwing arm.
Good link, Charles. Good, bringing that back there. Yes, because he's damaged his throwing arm through excessive fiddying. What?
We also talk about penises with Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum.
When you start putting those together, this sounds like the worst.
And I get hit in the penis as well, so.
Well, welcome to the XFM Breakfast Show, penis podcast special. Enjoy.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes on XFM.
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts.
This is your life. Good to the last drop. It doesn't get any better. This isn't a
seminar.
This isn't a weekend retreat.
Are we on?
There.
John Holmes.
When I am about to get on, I'm just going to press the very fabric of nature. Go. Good morning. Hello then. Welcome to you. I am John Holmes. And here we are once again, your XFM Breakfast Show in 3D. You should find a free pair of 3D glasses stuck to the front of your radio this morning. And for a fully immersive experience, we advise putting them on now. As like Theresa May and Michael Gove having a row about extremism, we publicly and ham-fistedly jump into your Thursday without really thinking it through. So poking out of our broadcasting trouser at you this morning then, it's Thursday. So there'll be another visit from Vexen Le Crowley. He is, of course, the High Priest of the Temple of Mephistopheles in Hendon. He'll be here with another of his Thought for the Day for Satanists later. Charles Manson would approve of that, given his penchant for satanic crimes, murderous trips to other people's houses, and bad poetry. So he'll pop along later, in a way, as part of our Kasabian ticket giveaway. A giveaway game of lyrics or lunacy. And this morning, your chance to join the Ku Klux Klan. All you have to do is be a 20-year-old Canadian pop star who's already due to stand trial on charges of driving under the influence, resisting arrest, and driving with an expired licence, and know how to impersonate a chainsaw making a racist noise. If that's you, text us 83936. Dave is producing this morning. Matt will be calling at news, sport, travel. He terminates at weather, plus he has no step-free access, so if you are in a wheelchair or listening with a pushchair this morning, then you are advised to find a different newsreader. Hello then, good morning. I'm John Holmes. This is your Thursday morning XFM Breakfast Show from XFM.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
It's 7:10. Welcome. XFM Breakfast Monday. You know, if I was a proper presenter on a on a radio station anyone listened to, I would probably say something now like, hey, what did you do at the weekend? Did you have a great weekend? Why don't Texas let us know what you did at the weekend? I haven't thought of any ideas, so to do this morning, so why don't you text us and tell us what you did at the weekend? Finish doing that. Why not text me and tell me what you're going to be doing next weekend?
DJ.
But I am intrigued as to something that happened this weekend because intern Charles, good morning, Charles.
Morning, Charles.
Morning. Morning. Regular listeners will know Charles is from the Isle of Wight and thus doesn't understand the modern world and went to something that we all call, I think it's called a wedding, isn't it, Charles? And you,
yeah.
But, you know, you're over here on the mainland, aren't you? And
well, it was interesting to see people getting married who weren't related.
Exactly.
Which is what I think you're trying to get at, so I thought I'd beat you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. That's where I was going, yeah. Yeah.
So, I like that. It's okay, because he said it.
He's right? Exactly. Yeah. I've now trained him to insult his own people. Charles from the Isle of Wight there. Yeah. So, but Charles came in this morning with quite the tale of hell. Yeah. Quite the tale of woe, quite the tale. I mean, what should have been a happy occasion reduced to something horrific. Charles, tell us what you did the weekend.
I went to a Hoxton wedding. Which was... I've never witnessed anything like it. I mean, to begin with, there were no wedding invitations. Instead, it was a Tumblr feed.
You
followed the link.
I don't even know what a Tumblr is.
Tumblr
is something you get from the petrol station for $2.99 when you have 10 litres of petrol, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. All wedding photos needed to be hashtagged so they could appear on their website. They had a hashtag.
A wedding hashtag.
The hashtag was embedded.
Yeah, embedded on a page. So if you hashtagged
them. What was the hashtag?
I'm not going to say it because I don't want people to know.
Is it the name of the couple?
Because it's the name of the couple,
Yeah, you're right. Because we could all go for that.
Trolls would jump on.
I know.
Yeah. A lot of people made their own clothes as well. There's a man who had a furry top hat, another one who had parachute pants that were tartan. And also, I think the pièce résistance was there was no first dance. Instead, they did a husband and wife DJ set.
Oh, God! It's the worst, hateful wedding I've ever heard of! Hoxton stamped all over it.
Massively did.
And what did they walk down the aisle to?
To bagpipes and a beatboxer.
Beatbox, bagpipe.
Beatboxer.
Hey, yeah, let's get a beatbox, bagpipe. Yeah, let's DJ at our own wedding. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Dave then admitted that he wanted to hashtag his own wedding, which is coming up later this year.
Yeah,
it got vetoed by the other half straight away. And I now see the error in my ways. Yeah. It's a terrible idea.
What was your hashtag going to be?
Hashtag wedfest.
No, you just said hashtag Dave's wedding and left her out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the most hateful wedding I've ever... Tumblr feed invitation.
Yeah.
DJ set.
Yeah.
And embedding a hashtag for all the guests.
So if you're not on Tumblr, were you not allowed to go to the wedding? Is that how it worked?
Well, they shared it on Facebook and it went to...
What's wrong with just sending an invitation to people?
Yeah. No. There's always a person who wore brogues and shorts, which really irritated me.
Oh, it's good. Oh. Oh, when you got married, mate, you put it on CFAX, didn't you?
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes Podcast.
Where did we find you, Ellie? Where are you?
Tottenham.
What does the day involve for you today, Ellie? What are you going to be doing today?
Not a lot, really. I'm not working at the moment.
All right.
I haven't been to bed yet, so...
You haven't been to bed yet?
No.
Wow. I believe the young people call it pulling an all-nighter. Do they say that? I don't know.
No, anyway.
Okay. What have you been doing, Ellie? Where have you been?
Weirdly, I've been watching programmes on serial killers.
God! Wow. Wow.
Hooked into the crime investigation channel last night.
Well, that's some hooking in. It's a good way to stay up all night doing it. Hell, I think we've hit our target demographic there. People who stay up all night watching serial killer documentaries.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes Podcast.
You can hear the voices there of this morning's guests. Good morning, by the way, 6 a.m. breakfast. I'm John Holmes. I'm joined then by the star of one episode of NYPD Blue in 2004, in which he played Clerk, and by an actor as well, who for me was the definitive boy in church scene, uncredited.
Yeah.
In the,
which I'm not even in.
2005 War of the Worlds. Did it get cut?
No, I just never did the movie. They just
what?
But I like the credit.
What?
No, I was hoping. I was like, "Where's the check at?" I was like, if "I'm in this thing."
Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill, welcome to XFM. How are you?
Good to see you.
I'm glad I did my research correctly for that. That really worked. So 22 Jump Street. Then that's it's funny. I'll give you that.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
So you did see it?
Well, I did see it. I've seen
nice.
It. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
There we go.
And I saw the first one, and I'll be honest with you, by accident on a plane. You know, when you're on a plane, you got to watch. I watched the first one.
Uh-huh.
Thought that was great. Didn't really know much about it. And then I really liked the second one as well. Which is good, because it's the same as the first one, isn't it? But that's the point.
That's the point
of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So tell us about it then. What's for those that might not know.
Well, apparently it's not that great. I'm kidding. It's about this time Chan and I go undercover as cops again, but we go to university instead of high school.
Yeah. Mm.
And the first one, we were making fun of the idea that turning a TV show into a movie is a really dumb idea. And this one, we're kind of taking the out of ourselves for the idea of making a sequel.
Yeah.
That quote-unquote second missions are always worse and more expensive than the quote-unquote first mission.
Yeah, which was a very good point very early on, so I think said by you in that. Now, here's the thing. So 21 Jump Street did very well. That's why there's a sequel, right? But didn't you say to Channing, I think, that if it grossed more than $35 million in its opening weekend of fun talent, that you would kiss his penis,
well,
Jonah. That's what you said.
This is our first interview together since Chan's cover of GQ came out, and what I realize now...
Yeah.
I was thinking every question for the next 2 months, all summer is going
to
be
well,
this.
If you just... what you could do is to stop everyone talking about that now. If you kiss his penis now...
Yeah
that'll work.
Kiss
little Chan here on XFM, and I promise you no one will ever bring it up.
That is right.
Good adjective. No, we were drinking the night of
As you do.
We were celebrating. There's actually way better stories from that evening, but sure, that
come
one
on, share them.
The headlines. But I think I had a few too many spirits, and I had been working on the first movie for 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
So, and there, even though it's really silly, there's a lot of personal stuff in the movie, like... You know, I've just been working on it a long time, and the people from the studio were kind of giving us updates throughout the night, and I knew that if we had made $30 million in our opening weekend, we were a massive success considering what we cost. And then Chan said, I bet it's going to make $35 million, and then I jokingly said that comment, and now it's...
living infamy, and I will always have it over.
I think he did say he would kiss your tip. I think that was the actual
point. Yeah, so actually it wasn't the actual penis.
I see. Interesting insight. We're getting into little Channing this morning. I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah, starting off early with this stuff, this nonsense.
Well, last time you were here, we talked about you
wearing... We haven't even had tea yet. This is like...
I know.
Last time you were here, we talked about your prosthetic.
In
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
As well.
Man, you're never talking about anything but that type of subject.
I think you have a serious problem.
Me? You're the one who keeps mentioning it. I didn't say I'd kiss anyone.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
It's 24 minutes past 6 o'clock, which means we can now go over live to the Chaff News Desk, where our showbiz correspondent Matt sits like... just squats really like a sort of gossip toad on a frog's toad spawn of show business offspring. What are you hatching, man?
Okay.
What have you got in you?
Well,
I don't know where that was going.
Still some spawn here that's sort of Kimye spawn.
Oh, more of that.
Still a lot of fallout from that. He loves to talk about it. And if something like that happens, you need... The showbiz journalist is told, right, you need about 10 different lines or post-wedding to talk about every single day.
Yeah.
To keep this going.
Keep it going.
Because there's
a
so
picture
much buzz
of
on
him
this. There's so much buzz.
Kimye.
They got married. They went to Cork, bizarrely. We followed them very closely on this section.
We have, yeah.
They went to Cork.
We're almost like proper show business correspondents now.
No one knows why they went to Cork for the honeymoon, but they did. And now apparently it's come out that Kanye surprised Kim with a semi-pornographic portrait of herself as his wedding present.
Now, let's just analyse that for a moment. If you were to get married and give your bride the gift of a near porno picture of herself, would that go down very well, Matt? Let's be honest.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No. I wouldn't have thought. Let's turn to the advice of the king of crap presents, who is among us, which is, of course, producer Dave. Now, Dave, as regular listeners will know, once bought his fiancée a tin of wood oil as a genuine gift.
Went down very well.
At Christmas.
No.
Oh. I was going to say, that was a good thank you for a tin of wood oil.
It's bad choice of words.
As soon as I said it.
Dave's crouching down to me.
The microphone was in the wrong place, so without, instead of moving it and making noises, I thought I'd just crouch.
It's just a bit weird.
It's very weird.
I want to take a picture
of him. He looks like the toad.
I'm on my haunches.
He looks like a toad on his eggs this morning, not me.
He does. So, Dave, if you're getting married shortly.
Yes.
To lovely Hannah. Now, if you surprised her with a wedding gift of a near pornographic picture of herself that you'd had commissioned, how would that go out of interest?
It wouldn't go down well.
Nice.
I don't think.
Yeah. No.
I don't think she'd be too appreciative of that.
She's wearing just high heels and a G-string with words, My Queen Kim, written down one side.
Is that spoonerism? I'll let you think about that one for a moment.
Yeah.
Everyone up to speed with that?
Good, yeah, I've
everyone
got
just
it,
yeah. Speed, yeah, good, well done. Just check. It's early, I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
So you don't think that would, no?
No.
No, it just wouldn't, would it? I mean, I've got a friend who once bought his wife a Hoover. For a gift, didn't go well. Someone else who bought a laundry basket for a gift didn't go well. But I cannot see that...
But maybe she loves herself so much and is constantly posting naked selfies of herself. Maybe this is what she wants, and Kanye's got it perfectly right here.
But yeah, I mean, he knows her better than we do.
He knows his wife.
To be honest.
This is a real relationship they're in. It's real.
That's right. Know? It's not all made up or anything
for
the tabloids, is it?
No.
It's not to get the money or anything.
This is a real thing. You know what I mean? They're in love. They're two young people, very much in love. And
they're just doing what comes naturally, which is having naked portraits of themselves. Wearing spooner. Some G-strings commissioned. That's
our Kim Ye.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM Travel.
In Westminster, St Margaret Street is still closed both ways at Parliament Square. That's after the state opening of Parliament yesterday. Not sure it's taking them so long there. Public transport all running to time at this stage. The weather's next.
I came through the Parliament Square. Tried to get through Parliament Square this morning on the way in, Matt.
And, the aftermath.
They're all drunk. Because this is public party time, isn't it? The Queen was out all night, and the reason they closed the road, she was asleep against the statue of the Prime Minister George Canning on the corner of Parliament Square there, just clutching a can of cider.
Yeah.
She got sick down her ermine. So they've had to close the... It's a big night.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM Music News.
The music news begins now. Matt, what's in it?
The big story this morning is... sewage in the Biffy Clyro recording studio. This has come to light. They're working on the follow-up to their album Opposites from last year, the double album that came out, and they've been recording it in the farmhouse they record most of their albums in Ayrshire in Scotland.
Yeah.
But there is a plumbing problem there, and their studio is being flooded with sewage.
Now, how did this story come out? Is this...
He revealed it.
Is it on Twitter?
He revealed it in an interview with Kerrang! Magazine.
Oh, I see.
So
it's got them some PR, hasn't it? The problem, though, they haven't thought this through, because all that's going to happen now is that when it comes out, and it won't be, but everyone will say, well, that explains why the album's a load of old...
Exactly,
So they've shot themselves in their... sewage-covered foot there.
They're asking for it, aren't they? But they said that the smell may in some way influence the sound of the album.
I've always wanted to hear an album that reminds me of the smell of human excrement. The last one,
What was the last one?
I've probably better not say.
Yeah, be careful here. Elsewhere.
So Dave's come back in the room. It's fine.
What's going on?
Nothing.
An album, by the way, that will not smell of human excrement is the debut from Royal Blood. Very exciting. Yeah. A lot of people ask.
That'll smell of blood.
That will smell of royal blood. Yeah, the best kind of blood. Yeah. Blue blood. And this will come. Everyone's asking when will their debut album come out, aren't they? The Brighton duo. Yeah. And they say they're hoping to have it in August. It's not been confirmed, but that's when they're hoping it will come out. And they want it to sound bigger than just two people playing, which, of course, it is with Royal Blood. Elsewhere, Bono and The Edge from U2 have joined the board of directors at Fender, the company that makes legendary guitars like Telecaster and the Stratocaster, says they will be working with the design team on possible new models. It's nice, isn't it? Got a job on the board. Like, you got Dr. Dre working at Apple.
Just doing the photocopying. Bono One day a week, Matt.
Bono and U2 at Fender. It's nice, isn't it?
Just in the office.
Just in jobs. As
Bono,
interns.
New boy. Tea, get the tea.
And, you'll like this one, John.
Oh,
you'll like this. Given your love for rock music and the First World War.
Yeah,
you're going to love this.
Wow, what's this?
This is something you will not want
to. This is going to be amazing.
Bruce Dickinson,
yes,
from Iron Maiden, is going to stage a First World War dogfight in the skies above the Sonosphere Festival.
Come on! The ace is high.
Exactly. The aeronautical rocker is going to pilot one of the planes during a 12-minute display at Nebworth on the same day that his band headline the festival on the 5th of July. It is to mark the 100th anniversary of World War One, of course. Dickinson will be flying his Fokker DR1 triplane.
Don't giggle, Charles. Grow up, Charles. Come on. I'm childish.
And that is, of course, you'll know, you probably will know, John, the same model used by the Red Baron.
The Red Baron?
Yes.
Yeah. Who's flying the other one, does it say? Is there a vacancy?
There's a whole team of them. There's a whole team of them involved in the dogfight. So, yeah, maybe we could get you up there.
I'll get up there.
Plane walk. Wing walking. That'd be nice.
During an aerial dogfight over Sonosphere.
And you'd be mic'd up and you'd be reading like Dolce et Decorum.
I would. And giggling at the word Fokker.
Like us all, yeah.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
So, of course, you know that many other breakfast outlets have their spiritual moment, don't they? They give you a chance to step off the world. Radio 4 has its bit where a vicar turns up and says an anecdote from their lives and then links it tenuously to Jesus or some other religious deity. A lot of do it spiritually. They give you the moment to step off and just think about your life in spiritual terms. And we're no different, really, here at XFM, except we cater for a part of the market that others don't, which is Satanism. So, as ever, the High Priest, Vexander Crowley, he's the head, really, I suppose, the chief of the Temple of Mephistopheles, which is in Hendon, joins us again for another. Here he is, it's Thursday, another of his Thought for the Day for Satanists.
Good morning. Last week, I found myself at home and feeling a little poorly. Graham, a fellow Satanist, had turned up at our bi-monthly orgy and midnight woodland sacrifice completely full of cold. And it'll come as no surprise, given the levels of depravity, that now everyone in our little group has the sniffles. It's not the first time this has happened, and I must say, given some of the problems that have arisen in the past, it could be worse than just a little cough and cold. Well, at least this problem doesn't need shifting with near-industrial quantities of natural yogurt. However, our sexually transmitted sniffles meant that my wife and I decided to do our shopping online. Satanists, like many people, have busy lives, and popping into the supermarket in person is a chore when you've got churches to burn and are busy running around, quite literally, with a headless chicken. So the next day, the goods arrived, and the pleasant young man delivering the items explained that one or two had not been in stock. The company's policy is to provide an alternative, something similar instead, and it was up to me as to whether or not I wished to receive these replacement items. And as I looked through the list, I thought, Satan is a lot like that, isn't he? For the switching of one set of expectations for another is at the heart of everything that Satanists do. But while this well-meaning store had attempted to aid our plight, supplying a carton of organic honey yogurt instead of the Greek natural we'd asked for, those who bask in the glory of the anti-Christatic ogre know that to smash decency and damage righteousness to its very core, one must take something good, wholesome and vital, and replace it with something that isn't similar, something degrading, vicious and wrong instead. And that's why, on nodding a signal to my wife, she took the nice young man upstairs and set about seducing him, while I took his van for a drive, deliberately flinging the produce meant for other homes in the area into the hedgerows and roadsides in a 30-mile radius. I then crashed his van into a churchyard and set it alight before catching the bus home. My wife, meanwhile, gave the young man a cold. And that should give us all something to think about.
The High Priest of Exeter Crowley there with another of his Thought for the Day for Satanists.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
So, as you can hear, Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum still with us on XFM. Gentlemen, I promised you a game of banned or pharmaceutical drug. That is the gift I bestow upon you. Are you ready to play?
Yep.
Okay, Jonah and Channing. Alphabetical order, Jonah first. Band or drug?
Apox.
Apox. Is that a band or is it a drug?
Drug.
It's a metal band from California.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Adeline, Channing. Adeline.
Band.
Is a band, yeah. It's a female solo artist. Yeah, good knowledge, yeah. Twinrix. Twinrix.
Drug.
Is a hepatitis medication, is the right answer.
That's what I heard. So.
I heard that.
I keep seeing it on...
Arixa. Arixa.
Band.
Spanish rock band. Very good. Frixium.
100%.
Frixium.
Band.
Is a French punk hardcore band. Is right. Elleville. Elleville, Channing Tatum.
Drug.
Yeah, it stops bedwetting in children.
Yeah, that's 100%. Why I knew that. I knew that.
Feminelli.
Whoa.
Feminelli.
Drug.
Canadian electro outfit. Femring.
That's gotta be a drug,
it
right?
Is. It's a menopause treatment is the right answer. Hepsi. Hepsi, Jonah.
Mm.
Band.
Turkish rock band, good. Drix. Drix. Oh,
that's a metal.
That's a hard one.
Drix?
Drix. Drix. Two X's.
Sounds like a DJ kinda.
Yeah. I'm gonna go band.
Give me the right answer, yeah. Love Knox. Love Knox.
You want me to say band? But this feels like a trick question. What, say it again?
Love Knox.
And what is it?
Well, it's either a band or a drug.
I was just trying to trick you into saying it. Drug.
Is right. Vein thrombosis. Mompox. Mompox.
Band.
Is an indie band, is right. Gynoxin.
That sounds like a drug.
Is a drug for thrush.
It's, what's thrush?
Thrush, it's a sort of yeast infection on your downstairs area. Yeah, that's right. I can categorically say, from what we witnessed earlier, Channing hasn't got it. And finally, Channing, Thrush Hermit.
It's a band?
It's a band.
God, that's a terrible name. That's a terrible name.
Dave, what were the scores? What were the scores?
Jonah 5, Channing 7.
Bam. Channing is victorious. Congratulations. You
well
win
done,
nothing.
Yeah.
What?
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
So, John Suchet, then, if you're familiar with his noted back catalogue of work, you'll know he was ITN's most popular newsreader, prolific. A recipient of awards for his journalism, Royal Television Society Awards. He has Sony Radio Awards. He was in Afghanistan as a war reporter covering the war for Reuters. He for ITN anchored the funeral of the Princess the Diana of the Wales. He's very, very well respected in the media industry and indeed by the British public. So who knows why he's agreed for us to sit in a Japanese restaurant on a weekly basis, sitting there in front of the conveyor belt, watching it go round, containing not rice and fish dishes, but instead badly written works of celebrity autobiography. And his task is to choose one
And read aloud from it for us on XFM Breakfast. This morning is no different. I think we can go live to the Japanese restaurant this morning. I think we can. I think I just hear. Hey there, good morning. Good morning, John.
Morning, John.
Yo, Suchet!
Now, let's see. Lots to choose from this week.
Yeah.
Keeping It Real by Jodie Marsh.
Sounds awful.
Trisha, As I Am by Trisha Goddard.
No.
Against All Odds, From Street Life to Chart Life by N. Dubs. This is the one.
Oh, yeah.
Nice to Meet You, My Story by Jesse J.
Good.
Oh, no.
Shall we begin?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Hello, I'm Jessica. Nice to meet you. On the 27th of March, 1988, I was born under my mum and dad's bedside cabinet at home. Well, it was beneath the bed and bedside table.
Fascinating.
I was born at 9:27 a.m. in the house I lived in until I was 14 years old in Seven Kings, Essex. Right near Seven Kings Station, down the scary alleyway. Dun, dun, dun. That's how I've always explained it. The very first words I spoke were jam hot from the Beats International song Dub Be Good To Me.
Wow.
I was just over a year old and just picked up the easiest bit to sing back. Jam hot. I genuinely loved to entertain and make people happy from a young age. I didn't ever stop running around making whale noises. You know, normal child stuff.
Oh, your last single.
My first performance was when I was 3 years old and I sang Twinkle Twinkle Little Star in a competition at a caravan park in Cornwall. I lost to a six-year-old who sang Lady in Red. I was devastated. That loss only made me stronger and turned me into the performer I am today. See you next week, John.
Thanks, John. John Suchet there, reading the words of Jesse J. Would you get that on any other radio station? I don't think you would.
X, the XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
So good morning then. This is XFM Breakfast. I'm John Holmes and I'm joined this morning by someone I guess best known really for voicing Wayne the Brain in one episode of the TV series Aqua Teen Hunger Force in 2003. And someone who for me will always be the definitive TV announcer in a 2004 edition of single dad comedy, Complete Savages. Welcome, Seth MacFarlane.
Wow. Somebody's been on IMDb.
Damn right I have, yeah. It's my go-to. How are you?
Because there's no way you remember both those shows.
No, I don't. You're absolutely right. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, yeah. So look, writer, actor, director, fill in if I miss anything out, producer, musician, animator, singer, illustrator, voice artist. Is there anything you can't do, you annoying man?
You know, when you start naming off sporting related things, then I'm no good at soccer or tennis or golf or
yeah, you don't need to be though. Your time is full.
Yeah. Who's got the time for that stuff? Yeah.
So look, Million Ways to Die in the West End, right? I've seen it, obviously. It's funny, that helps. Is it something, the comedy western though, is that something you'd been sort of having? There's a history of it, but it's not a big history, of course.
Yeah, it's you know, I was more of a fan of classic straight westerns, sure. Just dramatic westerns, I obviously love Blazing Saddles. The tone of this movie is I think different than that. It sort of sets out to do something different, but I had seen a lot of western comedies that had misfired, and to me it was because there was nothing accessible or modern day in performance, and you know. You can only get away with fake cowboy drawls for, about 15 minutes or so before people start feeling like it's a sketch. So I figured if we can somehow make people believe that these are characters that could exist today, then it may have the accessibility that some of the other films of this type have lacked.
And also because you're playing a romantic lead as well, which is...
There's
nothing more romantic than the sight of Sarah Silverman with semen on her face.
Absolutely. It's a great date moment.
Is it playing a romantic lead then? How did that, you know, is that kind of you thought, I can go and write myself into this now. I can do this.
With a character of this type, yes. I mean, it's not like I'm
playing Schwarzenegger's part in Predator. You know, it's like
Predator's part in Predator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this was something that was felt like a good fit for me. There's a lot of myself in this character, yeah. And it felt like a good match.
Because you said before, I think, is it Brian from Family Guy you associate most with, I think, romantically speaking? Is that true?
Yeah, you know, not so much anymore. Early on, Brian was probably closer to my personality. We've taken him in a slightly more self-important direction that just seems funny to us.
Yeah.
Because the thing with Brian, he was never quite... You know, you should always, with a comedy character, you should always have some kind of flaw.
Yeah.
That you can play to. And he was hard at times, because he was the voice of reason, but it was hard at times to get jokes out of him. So we've kind of pushed him in a bit more of an assholic direction, but it's kind of worked for the jokes.
There's obviously there's a lot of jokes, a million ways to die in the West, but a surprising amount of gore as well. I surprised the amount of blood on show.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, I enjoyed it, of course, but who doesn't? But what was the... is there a ratings issue with that kind of thing? I mean, how does that... Did you go... Was that your intention? Were you sort of going for...
You know, I mean, well, ratings are so f***ed up in the States.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if you... You know, you can have people getting beheaded and all this horrible gore, and you'll get like a PG-13 rating. But you show one little bit of side boob, and it's an R rating. There's some work to do over there as far as getting our priorities straight.
Yeah, okay. And we should talk about the cameos. And it's really hard to do that because for people who haven't seen the film, you don't want to talk about the cameos because when they pop up, they're jaw-dropping. Certainly at least two or three of them. how many cameos are in there? I mean, I
think there's about five of them.
Yeah, but two of them particularly.
Yeah, it's... Well,
there's one jaw-dropping one, and you know the one I'm talking about,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
In the barn, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the other one,
yeah,
with the sideshow game at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really... I'm not going to say who they are, but it's... you just phoned them up.
They're both... Yeah, they're both people who we asked, and they were willing. They came in and were... It didn't take that much coaxing.
No, well, which is amazing, because they're pretty big things to do with existing characters. That's what I'm going to say about it. I can't say anything else. Listen, Seth, we're out of time, but pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes Podcast.
And now we come to this morning's showbiz toss-up. As you know, it's the... We get it out of the way here in the part of the day where no one's really listening, because it's not the news, is it? It's in the news, but it's not news. It's weird, and it's you know, it's like Heat Magazine has been sick, and here's Matt clearing it up. Matt,
yeah.
What have you got? Putting down the sand, really, over the vomit.
Yes,
the
sawdust. Throwing it
like a caretaker at school.
Yeah,
a primary school.
Well, what do you want me to cover with sort of first, the Gwynny or Fiddy?
Well,
Fiddy,
it's difficult to say, isn't it? I mean, they're both... I've glanced at these stories, and they're both equally mental. So.
Yeah. Maybe we'll start with Mr. Scent.
Okay.
Because I think it was last week or something, he did this... they get a celebrity to do the first pitch at New York Mets baseball games.
Right.
And he did one in front of a packed crowd, and it was one of the worst throws you've ever seen. the pitch went off to the left massively, miles away from where it's supposed
to... It didn't even go in the direction... it went out of shot. It was so wide.
So, that was quite funny in itself. Apparently they got a blind person to do it and did a much better job than the rapper.
Yeah.
But he has now explained the reason why it happened.
Yes.
In a Reddit, I think, is that some sort of social networking thing that youngsters use?
I don't know.
He's had a Q&A.
Isn't it a noise that a frog makes?
In Reddit, yes. Yeah. He had an Ask Me Anything session on Reddit.
It's always dangerous.
And he explained that he has a skeletal muscle injury in his left shoulder, caused by excessive masturbation.
Well,
that's why it happened.
I always said he was one of those.
Yeah, you did. You've always said that.
I've always said he's one of those.
Anyway, so there you go.
Well, who among us can say we haven't got that? Really, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Quite, I mean, as your Charles's testament too. I often throw things to get in the bin from here, and I'm always miss.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
here in the studio. So
the worse you are at throwing, the more you indulge.
Yeah.
Is that the rule?
Is that the rule? I don't know.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, interesting.
50 cent, the 50 cent rule.
It's interesting. Because it's weird, because every time I try to masturbate, right, I miss by quite a long way. But that's because I'm a professional baseball player.
Good. I thought you were going into detail then.
No, I'm not going to go into detail. Did you think I was going to go into
Look,
have a look at this. Look, this is how I... that'd be ridiculous.
The mystery object today, or the mystery sound.
I think it's both at once, though. Start off being a mystery object, but become a mystery sound as we went along. Yeah. This has got weird now, hasn't it?
King of Interactive Dave has put that 50 cent pitch on Twitter already, by the way.
Yeah.
He's so responsive. He's like straight on it. It's on
very funny.
Him.
I could give you an image spot on Twitter. Yeah.
John's one's coming next.
Don't say that.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. Festival Friday.
Speaking of all things live, this is the first Festival Friday of the summer on XFM every Friday. For the foreseeable future, across the whole day, we'll give you the chance to get tickets to some of Europe's biggest festivals. This week, we kick things off on breakfast with a pair of weekend camping tickets to Scotland's biggest music festival. That is, of course, Tea in the Park. Arctic Monkeys, Jake Bugg, Paul Weller, Manic Street Preachers, Pixies, Haim, Biffy, Bastille, Embrace, Kaiser Chiefs, plenty more. We have a pair of weekend camping tickets, as I say, plus travel. All included. Now, what you had to do was guess. We had a game of tee off in the dark for Tea in the Park, you see, and not long ago, I had to hit a number five shots I got with a golf club and with tennis balls, though, because golf clubs were deemed a health and safety nightmare. And I had to fire them at our intern, Charles. Morning, Charles.
Morning, John.
Morning. Now, Charles is back, so he's still alive. That's the main thing. He's just been doing this. And I had to be blindfold, tee off in the dark, could you see? And you had to guess, out of five attempted shots, how many balls I successfully struck him with on his torso. Or anywhere else, frankly. The line's closed a while ago, so let's now hear how I got on. When we played Tee Off in the Dark for Tea in the Park.
You join us here on the rooftops of our studios in Leicester Square. To my left, a beautiful view of London on a fresh, sunny June morning. All the landscapes, Nelson's Column, looking across at us here on my right, where Mr. John Holmes is blindfolded and holding his Big Bertha, the driver, ready to fire tennis balls at intern Charles.
Why couldn't we have golf balls?
Because that would be far too dangerous.
Okay.
And he is going to fire the tennis balls at the intern, the Happy Gilmore of XFM. Are you ready, John?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Then let's go. First attempt. Oh, he tees off with a pretty good shot, to be fair. It went right up high and to the left, just missing the Isle of Wight intern. Put the tee back on.
Okay.
Second attempt. Oh, yes. He got him right in the thigh. The Isle of Wight intern is now crouched, seeming to be in quite some pain. I think it was the thigh. He's holding his actual gentleman's agreements, and it appears to have been the worst start possible for young Charles.
Yeah, he clipped it.
He clipped it.
Sorry, Charles.
Wow.
New balls, please.
John's just called for new balls.
So has Charles.
Oh, yeah, please.
So has Charles. Here we go. Oh, it's gone wild and to the left again. It's ended up in the rough. And here comes another one. Oh, yes, again, this time to the knee. Oh, straight to the knee of the poor, poor intern.
God.
So we've had two direct hits so far. The fifth and final shot now. John opting for a higher tee, the toilet roll.
I thought you went to be rubbish at golf.
Here we go, John. Oh, so close to the poor little intern, Charles.
2 out of 5,
yeah. 2 out of 5 is pretty good.
Festival Friday.
It was 2 out of 5 on line 2. Someone who guessed 2, she's there. She's called Emma. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Emma.
Yay! Oh, my God, I'm going to Scotland. Thank you so much. It's amazing. You've made my morning. You've made my Friday. You make my every morning. I love you on the radio. Except home. I love him. Thank you so much.
Have you gone hysterical, Emma? Are you all right?
I really am. I cannot work. I'm waiting for my sister. I need to wake her up and tell her.
Emma,
this is amazing.
Emma, congratulations. You are going to tea in the park. Arctic Monkeys, Checkbook, Paul Weller, Basil, Biffy Clyro. You know the lineup. Yeah. We will give you a pair of weekend camping passes and attempt to get you there somehow as well. Well done. And I think it's fair to say, Emma, that Charles is suffering, just only made your day better, I think it's fair to say.
I'm so sorry, Charles. Well done, you, for being a sportsman.
You're welcome.
There is, Emma, you'll be pleased to know, there is a video of that golfing spectacular now filmed on the roof here at XFM online. If you'd like to hear Charles being hit in the testicles and see it as well, then there it is, xfm.co.uk at XFM. We'll tweet it out now. Emma, congratulations again. Well done to you.
Thank you, John.
An intern from the Isle of Wight being hit in the nether area by a blindfolded man firing tennis balls at him with a golf club. That's entertainment.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
So there it was, the XFM Breakfast. Very funny, wasn't it? Very funny. Let's all pretend we heard it and listen to it and just laugh. Just laugh out of it. Right, genuine laugh. You know, ready?
Yeah.
After 3. And then what it'll sound like, we all thought it was hilarious.
Okay.
It's just that. Ready? Okay. 1, 2, 3. that was funny. That was the XFM Breakfast Show podcast, and there'll be how long have you got with this chap?
A couple more weeks, I think.
A couple more weeks.
It depends how eager the new interns are to, once they see the video of me getting attacked, they might.
There is a lot to put them off now.
Yeah.
New interns, isn't there? I mean, if you're listening to this and thinking you want to do an internship at XFM on the XFM Breakfast Show, you know, we'd be pleased to welcome you along, and certainly, you know, Dave will meet you. Don't sit near him and touch his people.
It's a grueling process. I mean, I'm pretty hard hitting with my questions when it comes to the intern interviews.
Are you? Give us an example.
Very
much
the apprentice approach to interviewing.
What's an example, Charles? What did he ask you when you went for the?
Can you start on Monday?
And if you can answer yes to that question, the job's yours.
It's a tough question. If it really was.
You do have to agree to get hit in the penis with a tennis ball. If you're a boy.
If you like this podcast, why not check out some of the other great ones available to download at xfm.co.uk.
XFM.
XFM. Ellis James and John Robbins.
We've had lots of your texts and tweets in about, you know, meeting your heroes and getting it a little bit wrong. We've had some real belters, actually. This is my favourite, because I'm also a huge Beatles fan. I met George Harrison at the Canadian Grand Prix in 1999. I was so excited that all I could say was, "Are you George Harrison?" He simply shook his head at me, gave me a withering look and walked off. Fair enough, really, considering the idiotic question from Tom in Amersham. Gutted, because you only get one stab at it. One shot of
it. When you're talking about meeting the Beatles, shot is not a better word than stab.
Oh, my God.
You've got to get the Beatle in your sights.
Nice.
And
that's one of the worst things I've ever done on air.
Music. Music. The Rocks. XFM.